This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth, your place to reflect. When we want something really badly, there is a universally recognized position to adopt. You know, when we want those grades, when we're hoping for that job, or in these climates, hoping not to lose that job, when we've done everything we can, we've studied, we've worked hard, we've impressed, and then it really is just the waiting game. There is this position that as human beings, we will automatically adopt. Our faces will go to the sky and our hands will shoot out forward and we will say one word. Wherever we come from, it's the same word. Please. Now, the question is, of course, who are we asking? Why are we asking? And even if we're not following a faith, what do we expect to get from that gesture? My guest today to explore the Islamic viewpoint on why we ask and how we receive divine gifts is Sheikh Sajid Umar. Sheikh Sajid is a prolific speaker, well known to many communities around the world, and we are very grateful to have him join us today. He has a bachelor's degree in Sharia, a master's degree as well in judiciary, and he is now pursuing his PhD at the New Muslim Academy. It is his role in inspiring the youth that brings him to our attention. And curiously, Sheikh, I read that you are a keen golfer. Salaamu alaikum.
Used to be a keen golfer. I used to be a keen golfer, and if I did get the chance, I would get back into the sport. It's something that I treasure from my childhood growing up, and a sport that I took seriously, alhamdulillah.
I once heard it described as a waste of a good walk. You wouldn't ascribe to that then?
No, absolutely. It's a good walk. And in the same breath, it's a test of mental strength and also physical ability. Many people think golf is just hitting a golf ball, but really it's about shaping shots and getting the ball to do different things. And it's all about beating the golf course. And absolutely, it cannot be described as a waste of a good walk.
We're talking today about this instant when we are depleted in our resources, or we've done our best at something, and often people find themselves asking the divine realm for help for sport. I remember being a Liverpool supporter, and that really does mean that you do a lot of praying and a lot of crying. And but this instinct, Sheikh, the hands going out and the face going up and the one word, please. What is the meaning of dua in the Islamic understanding, and how does it work?
All right, that's excellent. Firstly, you said you used to be a Liverpool supporter. I hope that's still the case.
I still am. I try to be less fervent these days.
I'm an ardent Liverpool supporter. I went to watch my first match just a couple of weeks ago at the semi-final, the European semi-final.
SubhanAllah.
I was told it was the best ever match to pick as a first Liverpool match to watch.
Wow.
Live, because European nights are amazing. But anyway, they didn't get the cup at the end. And yeah, but I think talking about supplications is an important next step, right? When
mm-hmm.
we keep on losing the finals. Yeah, I mean, you know, as human beings, we've been built and designed to believe in the reality of a higher purpose in the presence of a divine being. We know as human beings that not everything can be solved by the human being. We know that all our abilities are limited, and there's certain things that are in our control, and there's more things that aren't in our control. And God Almighty created us upon a natural disposition, and this position in its purity leads us towards reaching out to God Almighty. I mean, you know, you see children, turning up to the sky, not just the football supporter. It's something that is innate. It's part of us as human beings. And it is this belief in God Almighty and understanding that He is upon all able, that mandates that we call out to Him and we ask from Him. And it is this process that really brings solace to the EQ, which is the heart, and the SQ, which is the body, and the IQ, which is the mind, as well as the PQ, which is the body. The SQ, which is the soul, the PQ, which is the body, the IQ, which is the mind, and the EQ, which is the heart.
Right? Why, Sheikh, why EQ? What is the E? Emotional?
What the is... heart, right? The heart cannot experience absolute peace except if it has the ability to place its trust in a higher entity, in God Almighty, in the divine, right? Because there's so many things that the heart won't be able to reconcile. But when the heart knows that it can just leave something with the being that is upon all able, this brings solace and rest to the heart. It sort of becomes content on focusing on that which is in its control and leaving that which isn't in its control to the one who is upon all able, right? So, you know, the heart truly finds peace in this. You know, even for the football supporter, as you rightly, or as you opened this discussion for, you know, when you, after that loss and you feel that hurt and you go through human nature, as I call it, it's just part of being a human being, that there's something that means so much to you and it didn't come through. And you truly find peace at the end of it by saying, well, God Almighty knows best.
You know, Sheikh, that there is a famous cricketer, and I know you'll know his name, Imran Khan. And yes. He wrote a great book called Pakistan. I recommend it to everybody as both a kind of notebook of history and a personal journey. And Imran Khan spoke about, you know, finding his peace and going on his journey through sport. What happened to him was, as a lead cricketer in Pakistan of his country, the captain, he would have days when he knew he was on top form, when every member of his team was on top form, when the ground was perfect, when they were all well rested, and they lost every wicket. They lost the whole, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And other days when the other team was in that condition, and yet it went their way. And he said in the gaps in his own physical prowess and overconfidence, then he, as a sportsman, felt the initiative of God.
Yeah, and that's it. That's basically it. And I think every human being and every listener listening in right now can relate to that at some level. It happens in our life. And, you know, it's knowledge that all success begins with God Almighty. And if all success begins with God Almighty, then that has to be the first point in terms of everyone's thought, that we raise our hands and we ask from the one who owns all of success. So I can actually, relate to exactly what you've cited from the famous cricketer.
But mostly, in reality now, we turn to one another. As a child, I remember when I was little, I'd ask my parents, and the person of power in my house was my mum, and then my grandmother had power in her house. So they were the people you'd go to. You kind of bypass the men, I have to be honest. But I knew beyond them, I thought, who does my grandmother ask? And I was on a plane recently with, an English man, and we were having this discussion about faith. And he said, look, if he prayed to anyone, sometimes he prayed to his dead mother and asked her. And I said, was your mother a woman of faith? He said, yes. I said, who did your mother ask? Ask that person. Ask that being. Mm. And I think, how do we get so locked, Sheikh, into asking one another and having greater expectations than people can deliver? How does that disease enter our hearts, and how do we remove it?
Yeah, I mean, you rightly said it is a disease, and the reality is, you know, the life of this world is a means to an end. It's not an end in and of itself. It's a system that God Almighty has placed us in, and we are on a journey back to God Almighty, and there's a judgment day, and then there's, you know, a just recompense. So as God Almighty has created the system, we know of the devil, that God Almighty has told us is an enemy to mankind, and He has commanded us to take the devil as an enemy. And I think this is the start of all retrogression. It's our inability to recognize our enemy, right? Mm. The heart, you know, you rightly said it's a disease of the heart, an issue with the heart. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, taught us that, you know, we as human beings are nothing but one piece of flesh. And if that piece of flesh is correct, then the entire body will be correct. And if that piece of flesh is corrupt, then everything about the body will be corrupt. The thinking, you know, the processing ability, everything will be corrupt. And that piece of flesh is the heart. So, you know, when things swerve off what God Almighty has cited as an ideal, then no doubt the heart has been affected. And this is the first point of attack for the devil, that he knows he has to change this heart. He has to swerve this heart. He has to affect the momentum that this heart has and bring about negative momentum and so on and so forth. And, you know, as I said earlier, God Almighty says, indeed, the devil, Shaytan, Satan, is an enemy to you. So take him as an enemy, right? And if we take someone as an enemy, then by default, in the natural world, we set up our defense mechanisms, our defense systems. We do what we need to do. If we know that there's, you know, a prowler in the area, if we know there's thieves operating in the area, immediately, you know, we spend money, we spend from our resources in ensuring we have security set up, you know, we have cameras put in place, alarm mm-hmm. systems put in place. We prepare ourselves because we've taken something as an enemy. And I think our issue is we fail to take Satan as an enemy. We perhaps think Satan is a figment of our imagination, is something that doesn't exist, and we are who we are. Yes, we are who we are in terms of the decisions that we make. But also our environments play a part in deciding, who we are. And if we allow Satan into our environment, then these things happen. Nowadays, you know, when people have issues, as you rightly said, they turn to the network. They switch on their mobile phones, open their contact list, mm. and start looking mm-hmm. through the list of who can I call, who's going to help me, who can get me out of the situation. But we fail to recognize that even the person who we're calling, that person is in need of somebody, and that person will be in need of somebody, right? And ultimately, everybody is in need of God Almighty, because it is God Almighty who is in charge of all the affairs that happen in every second. And I was just reading something this morning, just before you called, and a scholar was stating that God Almighty in the Holy Quran, he mentions in four places, yudabbirul amr, yudabbirul amr, yudabbirul amr, yudabbirul amr. Yudabbirul amr means, or is God Almighty describing himself as the one who is, all over every process and every activity and every matter that's happening in all parts of the creation, right? Because he is the independent and all of creation is dependent on him. And this scholar says that God Almighty has mentioned this four times, to make the matter resonate with us, because even us as human beings, we sort of repeat important things. Mm. We repeat it. We don't just say it once or twice, right? Yeah. We say it more than once. You know, if our children, if they have big exams in front of them, we'll ask them more on one occasion, are you studying? How is the studying going? Are you sure you've studied? Are you sure you're okay with your study? Do you need an extra teacher? Are you absolutely sure? We keep on, harping on it, right? Because it's an important matter, our child passing the exam. So God Almighty is telling us it more than once, because God Almighty who is in control of all affairs. God Almighty who is in control of all affairs. Why? Because this is the entry point for the devil, to make us forget who is in control, and then to shift our reliance upon other than God Almighty. And when this happens, we lose an important act of worship, this act of worship known as supplication and dua, as we call it in the Arabic language, and we stop engaging God Almighty in this act of worship.
Thank you,
known as supplication.
We will be back in just a moment for more inspiring words from Sheikh Sajid Umar, explaining how to ask and who to ask and who to make our supplications to, after this inspiring performance from Sakina of Poetic Pilgrimage.
I know why they say the lovers are crazy. While some take pills to remain sane, we actively seek insanity. We yearn to be casualties of love. People say be careful of the ones of remembrance, they are crazy. I say you judge accurately. Because inside my chest there is a heart that makes no sense to me, but is constantly pining for the owner of eternity. Lovers are trying to keep their hearts in place, trying to keep a straight face, because inside is a cross between a mental asylum and a golden silence. A heart waiting to burst and leave bits of flesh dripping from the ceiling, seeking a meaning. They say the lovers are crazy, and they are not wrong. Cause we seek a love so strong, it makes you wanna run out into the rain with no coat on, jump into the oceans with our clothes on, until we can't tell the difference between the salt water we are inside and the salt water falling from our eyes. This love of a different kind, this love I'm trying to find, this love that binds me to he who owns the final hour, whose presence can turn mountains into powder. Ya Allah, turn this helpless seed into a flower and reside in my heart forever. Allah said the universes can't contain him, but he can be contained in the heart of a believer. He said he can be contained in the heart of a believer. Heart of a believer, I couldn't believe it either, but my mind can't comprehend the world of spirit and ether. So we go out of our minds in hopes to find posts that sign towards insanity, so we can get lost in the love of our Lord. May we all get lost in the love of our Lord. Amen.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing his gems of knowledge with us today is Sheikh Sajid Umar. Welcome back, Sheikh.
Thank you very much. May God Almighty bless you and bless all the listeners.
Amen. That moment that we reach of desperation, when we're driven to our knees, because this life is not easy. If we watch television, if we watch anything on, our friends' photographs on social media, people we don't know on social media, their lives seem so full of joy, and they're going from one party and one event and one winning football team to the next game, and everything's rosy for them. Why is it so rubbish for us? We turn inwards and we say, why am I having all these problems? Why is nobody coming to my aid? And then perhaps we make icons of these people and we want to follow exactly what they're doing. If I wear their jeans, maybe I'll have their life. If I live in a house like theirs, maybe I'll be happier. Is that the way to live?
That's not the way to live. I mean, if you live like that, then you quite frankly in what they call the rat race. Because you're looking for solace and happiness in materialism. When solace and happiness is in worship of the divine. I know it's easy to say that from a religious perspective and somebody who's upon faith, but you know, the heart and the crux of the matter is the reality. When you're talking about supplications, as we are, it's not just about being at the point of desperation, where there's absolutely nothing in your control. And now you're naturally turning to the one who is in control of everything. And this is a fact, right? I mean, even those who don't believe in God Almighty, the reality is when push comes to shove and there's nothing to hold on to, when the ship's about to sink, and no human being can help you, just natural human nature to look up to the heavens, right? To look up to the heavens. Whether you raise your hands or you don't, you're going to look up to the heavens and call out to God Almighty to assist. But one thing you must remember that, from an Islamic perspective, supplication is not just about asking. It's also about the conversation. Supplication is a means of having a conversation with God Almighty. And this is, something that is forgotten, even amongst people of faith. Because even people of faith, you see them, saying, well, I'm asking, but I'm not getting, and they forget that it's actually a process of having a conversation with God Almighty. Mm. And just coming to, the other question that you laid down about, seeing other people having things and we would love those things, or we might have asked for those things and we haven't been given those things, then the reality is, God Almighty is all right. And the life that we live is, as I said, a means to an end. It's not a place of absolute happiness, and perpetual happiness, nor is it a place of absolute and perpetual doom and gloom, because the place of absolute happiness and perpetual happiness is paradise, and the place of absolute and perpetual doom and gloom is the hellfire, right? We in a realm known as the temporary, the realm before the perpetual, and in the life that we live, there's going to be moments that are for us and moments that are against us. There's going to be happy moments and sad moments, right? Life will throw us curveballs. It's just the nature of life. But nobody can change this. You know, no invention, no scientific ability, nothing can change this. This is part and parcel. The universal law that God Almighty has set with regards to the life of this world. And our Creator, God Almighty, knows us better than we know ourselves, as is natural with any creator of anything. If I create a vehicle, I know best how this vehicle operates. I know, you know, the optimum oil to be used. I know the optimum fuel to be used. I know the correct operation of the entire vehicle. You know, if it's a cold day, how many minutes I should warm it up for, and so on and so forth. Which terrain the vehicle is suitable for. And I'm the creator. I know which parts have been put in. And as for the buyer of my product, then that person will never, ever know the product as good as I do, unless they read the manual that I've placed in the vehicle. Or they make mistakes and learn through experience. And that's just the hard way, quite frankly, to learn. And God Almighty created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what makes us tick. He knows how we will operate in front of adversity. And He gave us the instruction manual in terms of divine revelation. And He sent us, teachers who were taught by Him to teach us in the form of prophets and messengers. And they have taught us how we should operate in order to attain what we were looking for, the formula of happiness, the formula of success. Because the human being in and off the realm and self of the human being cannot do anything to achieve absolute happiness. We in our own capacity might be able to achieve a portion of happiness, right? Which many people mistake for complete happiness.
Or permanent happiness. This wish that these bubbles of peace that we have when everybody in the family is well. When, in fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if we have enough to eat and we have a place to stay and we have accommodation and we're living in a place where there's no war, we actually have everything in the world. And that's where we have to leave it today. And we'll be back for a second part on the power of prayer with Sheikh Sajid Umar tomorrow. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. You've been listening to Heart and Soul. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum.